الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. حضرت الشيخ شيخ الحديث مولانا محمد زكريا صاحب رحمة الله عليه towards the latter portion of his life when he was now confined to a wheelchair. He couldn't really do much, move around much. So he had become a resident of Medina Munawwara. He stayed away here. So obviously there were many ulama, many murids of his in India, in other parts of the world. They wanted to be close to him, and especially now in the last stages of his life. The Buzrugani Deen, in the last stages of their life, they give off a lot. They say you get the cream in the end. So a lot of people wanted to be with him, stay close to him. So people were requesting him to come and settle in Medina Munawwara. In those days, it wasn't as difficult as it is today. Nowadays is a lot of red tape and whatever. Those days was easier. So a lot of people were requesting him that we come and settle here in Medina Munawwara. And he was refusing even. Because he asked them that if you're all going to come and settle here, what deeni khidmat are you all going to make? What khidmat of deen will you all make over here? So at that time, Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Muhajir-e Madani Rahmatullah Ali, the one who wrote the tafsir for short form, they say the Noble Quran, illuminating discourses on the Noble Quran. It's a very beautiful tafsir. If a person wants to read the meaning of the Quran Sharif and a little bit of explanation, and you don't have too much Arabic background and all of that, and you're not a very like a studious type of a person, and that's a very beautiful tafsir to get. It's written very beautifully about the Arab, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, the translation, and then if there's any shani nuzul, any incident surrounding the revelation of that ayat, that will be mentioned. Any ahadith pertaining to the incident, he mentioned that, and give a little bit of explanation. So very, very nice tafsir to have at home, illuminating discourses on the Noble Quran. So when he had come, he also came to Medina Munawwara and he asked Hazrat Sheikh ijazat to stay. So Hazrat Sheikh asked him, so what are you going to do? So he said, no, I'm going to write a tafsir. So because he had some dini khidmat that he was going to make, so Hazrat Sheikh gave him ijazat to stay. If he was going to make some dini khidmat, then you can stay. So that's how he ended up staying. Others also stayed away. Towards the latter portion of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's life, there was a lot of rumors that Hazrat is going to come to settle in Medina Munawwara. The flat was already here, the iba, everything was like sorted out. It was just for Hazrat to come away now and stay away here. Now who's going to have the himmat to go and ask him? So quite a few people were phoning me, you know, and just ask Hazrat, you know, easy going, what's happening? People were all worried now if Hazrat goes away, what's going to happen to us? So one day I was sitting with him alone in that room in the back of the masjid, and we plucked up the courage and I asked him, I said, as this talk is going around that you're moving away to Medina Munawwara, is it true? Are you going to be shifting to Medina Munawwara? So Hazrat mentioned, he said that if I want to go to stay in Medina Munawwara, I can go now. Everything is sorted out. It's just a matter of me going away. However, until Allah Ta'ala gives me strength to serve his deen, I won't go to settle in Madina Munawwara. Because the amount of deeni khidmat I can make here, I won't be able to make there. So the asal is the deen of Allah Ta'ala. When is we come to Madina Munawwara, definitely it's the most beautiful city in the world. The sukoon, the itminan, the tranquility, everything that you feel here, you don't feel anywhere else. However, our life is not about our feelings. Our life is about fulfilling commands of Allah Ta'ala, following sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. Each one of us, in our own way, one is those who are ulama, they will serve deen in a different way. Then you get the brothers in tabligh, they are serving deen in a different way. Everybody tries to serve deen. You get people that are authors, they write kitabs. Everybody serves the deen of Allah Ta'ala in some way or the other. You get ladies at home, you know. There was one elderly lady in Turkey, and she used to live in the outskirts, no, not in Istanbul and all that, in the villages. So at that time when Ataturk, you know, he had totally stopped, you were not allowed to even read Quran Sharif, Azan wasn't allowed to be given in, you know, not allowed to follow deen, not allowed to practice deen. So at that time, to keep the fires burning, they were so concerned about their olad, about their children, that how are we going to pass deen on to our children? So this lady had a little dairy farm in the villages, and people used to come to buy milk. So when they come to buy milk, then you milking the cow, you giving them, or you keeping it in the milk cans and you giving it to them. So the little girls of that village used to come to her in the guise of coming to buy milk. But they used to actually be coming to take their hib sabak and read their door. And like that, in that period of time, I can't remember the exact number, but it's like a phenomenal number of how many girls, forget boys, how many girls became hafizah by that lady in the dairy. So this is the asal, that the deen of Allah Ta'ala, we have to make khidmat of the deen of Allah Ta'ala in our whichever way. One day I was traveling what used to be called Eastern Transvaal. Now when we went to school, they taught us four provinces. Now they got too many to learn. We don't know all the provinces. But in that area there, so we needed to read Salah, and we saw one Muslim man standing outside one shop. It was a tackle shop. So we went there to ask him if there's any musalla here or anything. So there was a musalla behind his shop. But the ajeeb thing, in his shop now, his customers mostly the white people of the area. They are the fishermen into this trout fishing. But in one corner of his shop, he had one table with a couple of chairs. The blue shop, eh? You saw this thing. Yeah, so he had one table there, couple of chairs. Then he had Ahmed Didat's cassettes. Because he's dealing with the Christian people. So he had his cassettes there. And he had kitabs on Islam, you know, introduction to Islam, different aspects of Islam. So now, fishing tackle is a thing. Now one customer comes, you're busy with that customer, the others have to wait and whatever. They say fishing is a game of patience. So from the time you find tackle, you must be patient. So that was his form of dawat. That anybody comes. Hi.
So good to see you.
Thank you.
His form of Dawat, inviting people towards Islam in his business, he had that one corner there, and if anybody can come at any time, read some kitab, listen to some cassette there or something. It was before the zamana of CDs and all that, so he had the cassettes there, and that was his khidmat of deen that he was making. So it starts in our home. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he approached Ma Umm Salama radiallahu anha for nikah, to marry her, so she mentioned a few things. She said, I'm very happy, but I got a few concerns. One is that I can back answer you. I can say something, and if it's somebody else is fine, but if it's the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, now how? So that is one. The other thing is that I've got children. I've got so many children, and now I've got to look after them. How I'm going to fulfill all your hukuk and look after the children, etc. So on that point, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, that's the reason I'm marrying you. I want to help you with these children. So, after that now, once when her child came to eat, and the child sat down, and now, as children will do, not worried which hand. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught the child's hand. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Ghulam, O child, Sammillah. Read Bismillah. First read Bismillah. Wakul biyameenik. Eat with your right hand. Wakul mimma yaleek. And eat from that which is near to you. Don't eating from one plate. Now don't take from here and there. Eat from what is close to you. So how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the tarbiyat of the children. I think Ghaliban Abdullah ibn Masood radiyallahu an, he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him tashahud, attahiyatu lillah. He said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held my hand between his two hands. And he taught me tashahud, like how you teach somebody the ayat of the Quran Sharif, how you make them memorize, like that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me tashahud. So this is khidmat of deen. This is khidmat of deen in our house. You teach the child tashahud, the child is going to read tashahud in the salah for the rest of that person's life. The rest of the child's life. So the mothers, the fathers, everybody plays a role. We have a business. If Allah Ta'ala has made us business owners, am I seeing to it that my Muslim staff are reading Salah? One is we can't force anybody. But am I creating the facility for them, the time for them, that they read their namaz? Now, if we do that, what a big deal. Whether a person closes his business. Hazrat Abdullah Madras Abdullah Barakatu, when he used to be driving up, going to the madrasa, and he sees the students walking, his students, coming out to the madrasa, so he stopped to give them a lift. So, now sometimes there's already few in the car, so they say, Hazrat, now we're going to squash you up, So, Hazrat used to say that when there's muhabbat, there's enough place. When there's muhabbat, there's enough place. If there's dushmani, if there's adawat, enmity, then the whole world space is not enough. The whole world space also won't be enough. Two people are fighting. But when there's muhabbat, then in a small place also you can fit. There's no problem. There's muhabbat. So, gee, what I was saying before this, so that the parents, Hazrat used to tell the children that no, there is enough place. Enough place, you come in the car. My mind just went to them. But before that, we were talking about how each one of us can serve Allah Ta'ala's deen. So that is the asal. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were many Sahaba. But after that, they had to go out. All had to go. Plus minus 10,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are buried here. The others are way away. In Palestine now, you went and saw Sahaba Nanum's Kubur, are they also? So where they went. In fact, when Sahaba Nanum went to Sham, the first time in their life they experienced snow. Even their horses too were confused with this thing, this snow. First time they saw snow. But they had to go out. Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sending him, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him that, you know, probably when you come back, you will pass by my qabr. You're not going to meet again now. So as difficult as it is to leave Madina Munawwara, one is those that are fortunate, Allah Ta'ala has allowed for them to stay here. So they are staying, they are fulfilling a different aspect, being in Madina Munawwara, keeping the masjid abad, reading Durood Sharif. If they are South African people that we know here in Madina Munawwara, now so easy we can send them a message, convey my salam. So they will do that khidmat. I know there's one, two South African people. Even our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi's son, Mawlana Muhammad, he's got a list of people's names. And every day when he goes to the Rosa Mubarak, he give all their salam. So they are fulfilling a different aspect of deen. But all of us are not going to be able to be here. And when we leave from here, we leave with a heavy heart. And we must leave with a heavy heart. Hazrat used to say, we must never be enthusiastic to leave Madina Munawwara. And we must instill this in our children also. In fact, Hazrat used to say that, you know, you mustn't be like, you all packed up and you're ready and, you know, you're just waiting to move now, you know. No, you must go to the Rosa Mubarak, go and make your Wida Salam. The Wida Salam mustn't be like a, you know, just a slapdash. You must allow yourself sufficient time. Go make your Wida Salam properly, cry to Allah Ta'ala, make dua. As in Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned a very beautiful thing. He said that when he was standing in front of the Rosa Mubarak, and he was now giving his Wida Salam. So he was saying that Al Wida Ya Rasulullah. You know, like now it's farewell, now I'm going. He said, Allah Ta'ala put this thought in his mind. And he said, Ilal Liqa Ya Rasulullah. Until we meet again. It's not just a parting now that we're going away and never to come back. Our tamanna is that we must return to Madina Munawwara. The tamanna of many of our akabirin was to pass away here. Pass away in Madina Munawwara, be buried in Madina Munawwara. The other day we read the qasida of Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, how he expresses himself that he would like to pass away in Madina Munawwara. His body must become dust, and then that dust must go and rest on the Rosa Mubarak. Expressing out of love, out of ishq. But so we leave with a heavy heart. But when we're leaving, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, let there be change in me. And let me be a true ambassador of deen. I must champion the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I must start in my life. I remember some time ago, there was one brother. He was complaining about his wife. he's saying she must dress properly. She wasn't wearing cloak or anything. So he was complaining, Simon, you need to speak to her, she must dress properly. So she turned around and said, that Moana, he must dress properly. He is wearing shirt and pants, but he wants me to wear cloak. So why he also don't start wearing kurta? Then I have to start wearing cloak. So we must start with ourselves. Start with ourselves. Don't come down with a 10-pound hammer on your family. Start with ourselves. The family automatically they will see and they will realize the change, and they themselves, you will cry at your time. You know, there was one brother had come to sit for itikaf and he was a TV addict. So in the itikaf he mentioned, you know what, this TV now, what must I do? So I told him, you make tawbah that you're going to give this thing up, you're not going to watch TV ever again. So he made up his mind, firm resolve, cried to Allah Ta'ala and said, TV is out now, no more watching TV. So the second last night of itikaf, he's telling me, you know what, now when I go home, how am I going to get the TV out of the house? Because the TV is part and parcel of our life. My children, my wife, how am I going to get it out of the house? I can't just go there now and just, you know. So I told him, see, you talk to Allah Ta'ala. You talk to Allah Ta'ala. All our hearts are in Allah Ta'ala's control. Talk to Allah Ta'ala. So he cried, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. The night he came out from i'tikaf. No, after Maghrib he came out. Isha time he came back to the masjid, he's in tears. And he's telling me, he said, Maulana, you know what? I entered the house. My wife and my children, they were there to meet me. They're excited, came back home. And in the passage, our TV was there. And it was covered. Kafan they put on the TV. He said, the TV was there in the passage and it was covered. So I didn't ask any questions. I didn't ask anything. I just left it. We went, partook of meals. Then I just asked the wife. I said, hey, what's the thing? It's broken. Please to get fixed. What's the story? So she said that, you know, we thought about it. You went, now you set for itikaf and all that. Now how we can still have this thing in our house? So myself and the children, we made up our mind that we don't want this thing anymore in the house. Now it's left up to you. We left it by the door. You want to bring it back, you bring it back. You want to take it out, you take it out. This is the power of dua. The power of dua. So we must start within ourselves and then start in our homes. We can't change the whole world. Whole world we can't change. But in our home we can make changes. We can do things. And wallahi, you know, every step towards what we will call modernism, right, takes us away from Sunnah. I'll just give you one example. Today, in all our homes, we got showers. All our homes, we got showers. Right? When we go to take a shower, just ask ourselves, how many sunnahs we lose out on? Whereas if we bathing with a bucket, using a bucket and a lota, a jug, now you can make amal on all those sunnahs. You can sit and have a bath, you can first wash your hand, then remove all impurities, make wuzu, then now pour the water over your head, pour the right shoulder, left shoulder. The shower, how are you going to do all that? So just one thing, you just introduce one modern item, right, which we just take for granted, we don't even think anything about it. Right? And What a problem we bring, how many sunnats we deprived ourselves of. Some years ago in Cape Town there was a drought, you know. So we had gone there at that time for some programs and things. So the people of Cape Town, they would tell you, you know what, by farting, just take it easy. But they were on heavy restrictions, water restrictions and whatever. They said, they take it easy. And then they said that, you know what, for eating, we make maaf, but we're using paper plates. So we don't have to wash the dishes. So the host is a good friend of mine. So I told him, no, that's not your solution. Because the amount of water that goes into manufacturing paper plates, you're using more water. So the solution is in the sunnah. Many people eat from one plate. The whole family eats from one plate, four or five people. Nowadays our families are small. At most two plates we got. Whole family is eating from the two plates. How much less water we use to wash the two plates? But now because, and you know, the beauty of our deen is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spelt all these things out to us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he dislikes one person eating from many utensils. Many people eat from one utensil, not one person eating from many utensils. And how our life is going. Each person got their own plate. Then if there's some sweet rice or gajar or whatever, now you need another separate plate for that. But you're going in the same stomach. You don't have separate stomachs. And nowadays, sometimes they even have a plate for the plates. You put all the plates, and there's another plate at the bottom for the plates. So all these things is not... You see, what happens with us is we go with the flow. We just go with the flow. But we're not realizing how far we're drifting. Slowly, slowly, we're just chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Hardly anything left. Hazrat, just end off with these two examples. This is actually Mawlana Jalaluddin Rahmatullah's example. Hazrat used to mention it, that one person, he wanted to tattoo a lion on his arm, make a tattoo of a lion. So he went to the tattooist and he told that fellow to make the tattoo. So when he started to make the tattoo, he said, he's painting too much. What you drawing? He said, no, I started with the tail. So a tail chore them. Leave the tail. If you have a lion without the tail, is no problem. Draw something else. So they sort of again put the needle. Hey, what you doing now? He said, oh, I'm starting with the leg now. He said, oh, leave the legs out. This. Then he went to put again, now what you're doing, the mane. He said, no, leave the mane out. They put to him, by, you know, you go away from here. I don't know what kind of lion you want me to draw. That is exactly what we're doing with our deen. We don't want to look down on anybody. But really it pains. You know, I remember coming here the first time to Madina Munawwara with my Masaji. And Masaji had brought us to his children and then a couple of nephews. And I remember how strict he was with us when we came here to Madina Munawwara. The first namaz we went, it was the Maghrib Salah. How he kept quiet, don't talk, and he was reciting here. We were young, small children. But when you were in the haram, they kept you, you know, there was no way you are. Makkah Mukarramah also, how that, you know, adab, everything. Now, I'm seeing so many. You're walking, you're not looking for it, it's there in your eyes. The father is sitting, is making tilawat of Quran Sharif. He's got his son next to him, therefore, got the phone playing games. Mother may be going to make salam, father needs to keep the child entertained, give him the phone, and he'll play games. I'm not saying South Africans, whichever nationality, whatever. But the point is that this child will grow up. What azmat this child is going to have for the haram, for deen? The child is going to grow up like that, playing games in the haram sharia. Yesterday I was sitting, I think it was before Isha, and I picked my head up, and in front of me was an elderly person. He's busy checking his TikTok or Instagram or whatever, some clip he's watching there. So we're not realizing what's happening. This walkway from Haram Sharif to Quba, the walkway is lovely. They made nice pavement, you can walk to Corridor Ishraq and come away. But the vibe around it, I mean, does it remind you anything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's coming here? What, how they came? What was the situation? Sahaba Nanum didn't have anything. They didn't know where they're going to stay. They didn't know where the next meal is going to come from. And now what we create. So Allah Ta'ala must bring and bring us again and again, and we got our own faults. The very, very important thing is that we must hold on to the asal, the respect, the adab, ba-adab, ma-naseeb. And then when we go back home with the true fikr for deen. True fikr for deen. This deen, how is it going to bloom in my own home? From there it will go everywhere else. But my own home, I got the authority. My own home, I can make a start and would nurture me. Would soft us, not in a harsh way. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he changed the mindset of the whole Hijaz, in such a way that that mindset then went to the world. Right? But he did it with softness. Allah Ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. You don't have to be, like a military sergeant or something. With love, with pyar, with muhabbat, with hikmat, deen must come alive. So Hazrat used to mention that here in the Haram, in Madina Munawara, the way they shine the marble and they shine the pillars, and sometimes they got a frame written Allah, and because the thing is so clean, that marble, you can see like the Allah in the marble. But the marble was not created to get the nur of Allah Ta'ala. But when you polished it, then even Allah Ta'ala's name that was there, you can see the reflection. But the heart Allah gave us for His nur. And we will polish that heart. And imagine how the nur of Allah Ta'ala will come. The nur of Allah Ta'ala and the ishq for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat used to always mention this one, that when Dai Halima radiallahu anha, when she came to Makkah Mukarrama to see if she can get a child, so they were like in a poverty situation, and her camel also was very weak, so her camel was lagging behind. So that's why all the other ladies came and they took all the babies from the wealthier homes, etc. And eventually when she came, then others also saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but because now was an orphan child, they said, now we don't know how much payment we'll get and all that. So nobody was taking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Dai Halima also, she also left Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after that there was no other babies left. Now she said, no, I came to take one baby, so never mind, let me just take this baby. But when she picked up Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then her camel became such, the other camels couldn't keep up with her camel. That was the effect it had on her camel. Her body itself started producing milk. It wasn't producing milk. Now her body is producing milk. Her animals are going out to graze. They are coming back. The others are full. Other people are coming to ask her, that where are you grazing your animals? How come they going to graze, the others are coming full? We are also sending our animals but there's not enough pasture. So Hazrat used to say that that was at the time when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a baby. And that wasn't the maqsad for which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. But when she picked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put in her lap, then all these bounties started coming. Now if we today as ummati of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we pick up the deen that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, that sunnat that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, then what would Allah Ta'ala won't give us? Not only from dunyavi bounties we make dua for it, we need it also, but dunya, Allahu yabsutu rizqa limay yasha'u wa yaqdi. That's Allah's deen. Some people will be given a lot of rosy, some will get less rosy, some will go through different phases in their life, etc. But the true thing is what is in the heart. What Allah Ta'ala gives in the heart. This iman, contentment, the love for Allah Ta'ala, the love for Rasul Pakh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we must yearn for. Become Allah's, ask Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, make me yours. Make me yours. You go to the Roza Akdas also, after we make salam, we're making dua after that. Ask Allah for His love. And ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This muhabbat, love is what we are lacking. You get this love, true love, then after that the road is very easy. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq. Few hours we have left, we try and make the best of it. Those who are leaving tomorrow, I don't know, others maybe on different schedules. This will be our last program here on this safar. We won't have another program because tomorrow is Jummah also, and we are leaving tomorrow night. So those that are staying, we request you to make dua for us and continue conveying our salam. Ziyad, that's the shart. Otherwise, change the flight. So, convey our salams to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for us. Allah Ta'ala accept everybody's ziyarat, everybody's umrah, everybody's duas. Whatever money was spent, Allah Ta'ala give you multifold back. Allah give barakat, give multifold back. The main thing is Allah Ta'ala take us home with that fikr, true fikr for deen in our heart. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام.